Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the sound.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is D&K Bible Break, and we're on live on Blog Talk Radio, Chaos Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of D&K Bible Break. We're live on this Monday. I just want to thank everyone that is listening on the internet, as well as those that called in on the phone lines to support us by listening to D&K Bible Break on this day. Hopefully you had a blessed weekend and a blessed start off to your Monday. I just want to give honor to the Lord for waking me up in my right frame of mind and the activities of my limbs, and I have the mind to serve Christ another day. And with that being said, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Miss K. Good evening.
Good evening. Happy Monday.
And we just want to thank all those that are tuning in, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all those that are tuned in already that's going to be tuning in later. Again, we want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to my sponsors, Pizza Hut, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Finish Line, Outback Steakhouse. I just want to say thank you, and thank you for your support each and every week, not just through my show, but every show that we got going on Chaos Talk Radio. Again, this is D&K Bible Break, and we're live on this Monday evening. We want to send a special shout-out to all those that are listening in the late-night hour in London and in Germany. We just want to say thank you, and thank you for your support, just for tuning us in on another day. And those that are in Nassau, Bahamas, there are our local time here. We just want to say thank you for joining in again, for supporting us. And hopefully we can uplift you today with another word. Some people like to say conversation that we're going to be having. I just want to just thank the Lord for just putting the platform for us to be able to do what we do and reach the people that we reach. If we just get one person to say they enjoyed it or they learned something or we're helping them get through the week, that to me, that's a blessing. It's not always in how many people are listening to you, how many people are you affecting. Because you can have 1,000 people listen to you and have 1,000 people walk away with nothing. And we just look for that one person that we can try to help or encourage to go on another week. So with that being said, again, I just want to say thank you. Kay, before we get started, anything you want to say?
I just want to say happy belated 4th. Pray that everybody enjoyed their day off of, for the 4th of July, and pray that you spent time with your family and enjoyed it. That's it.
Amen. That's right. We wasn't on last week. That's right. Wasn't on last week because of the 4th, and we're back at it again this week, and hopefully you enjoyed the 4th. I know we did, and celebrating it, and watching the fireworks which I think are overrated, but, you know, we just want to say thank you. I don't know who was on, you know, the fireworks or the mosquitoes that tore me up that night, but it was a blessing. We went out with some friends. Actually, me and Kay was just kicking it the whole weekend. We went out Saturday and Sunday. So we just want to thank for our friends that was with us on both on Saturday and the ones that we fellowship with on Sunday. We just want to say thank you for fellowshipping with us. And
amen.
That's about it. That's about it. We're going to get right into the show. I want to talk about, and wife, help me if I'm just using the word right, illusions. Am I saying it right? Illusions?
Mm-hmm. Illusions and distractions.
Illusions.
Yeah.
And distractions is what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm learning, and I was just before we came on the air, I was sharing with my wife, I've graduated from dealing with illusions, dealing with what seems to be going on. And we always look at what's going on and the reality of what's going on, and we never look at the good. I don't care how bad it is. When you're living for Christ, there's always in whatever's going on. And I've learned it, and I've been learning this. It's just good. And no matter what the situation may be, it is good. And this is what we're going to be talking about. Let me just take a moment to pray, because I don't want to get started and forget to pray. But Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. We just come to you right now. Father God, we ask that your word is heard tonight. Father God, give me and Kay the wisdom to break down your word, Father God. And Father God, if there's anything in us that's not right, we ask you clean us up right now, Father God, for knowing and unknowing things that we may have done and that may not be pleasing to you. We just ask that you forgive us right now, Father God. And Father God, as we continue to do what you would have us to do, Father God, to give the listener the ear to hear what you're trying to say to them. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I've been going through some things personally where when things seem bad, especially lately, I was getting frustrated. I was getting, every little thing was bothering me. And I couldn't understand what it was. And the Lord was trying to get my attention. And when he finally got my attention, everything isn't as bad as it always seems to be. And I was supposed to go on a little trip, and my wife's son, I ain't going to say he broke our washer, but he used it the way he wasn't supposed to, and it was broke. And as mad as I was about the situation, the thing about the situation was, yeah, it broke, and I had to call a repairman out. And, you know, repairman, they charge you like $50 an hour to come look at your stuff, just to look at it, not to tell you what you got in. The thing about that whole ordeal was, and I didn't see it, and the Lord had to chastise me a little bit, because when it broke, without no hesitation, without no thought process, I was able to make a call. People was able to come out and fix it. And here I am taking all this negative energy, even though it was upsetting, but a year or a year and a half, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have had the money to pay for it. We would have had to been going to a laundromat. And I'm just saying, thinking of worst-case scenario. But in the season that we're in now, and we're going to talk about these things, the Lord gave me a couple, just to pick up a phone, and they were out within an hour to fix it. But I took a couple of days just to be mad. And the Lord said, what you mad about? I made a way for you. It may not have went my way, but I gave you an option to get the thing fixed. And I'm hoping you guys follow me, because this is real life situation that's going on. And sometimes we look at the picture, and even though it's the reality, if you're not living for Christ, you'll get stressed out and overwhelmed by what's going on. And all you got to do is give it to the Lord. There's a good reason. And the reason I was able to have finances to do that, it isn't because I'm rich. It's because I dedicated my life to the Lord. And when you dedicate your life to the Lord, he knows stuff is going to happen. And stuff will happen, and he will make sure that you're prepared to handle the situation. All the situations Amen. Me and my family are going with right now, and it's a lot, we're able to handle the situation. We may not like it, but we're not stressing about finances. We're not stressing about things that maybe people will stress about. You know, there's a lot of husbands stressing about their wives. There's a lot of wives stressing about their husband. Well, me and my wife, we've at a place now, we don't stress about each other. I got her, she got me. And whatever I don't have, she got. Whatever she don't got, I got. And I mean that in a spiritual sense, not just finance. I don't want you to think I'm talking about money. I'm talking about on every level. And we have to be careful because the enemy will put illusions in front of us, and we think that we're looking at something. And all of, and the Lord is right there. Is right there. And all the hail and all the rain and everything that's going on, the Lord is right there with you. And I'm reminded about the story of when Jesus was going into Naaman, and the woman had, she was a widow, and she was burying her son. And as they were going to bury him, she was crying and she was sad. And the Lord told her, don't cry no more. Now, you got to understand the circumstances. She was burying someone that she loved, that she cared about, and the Lord told her not to cry. And at first I didn't understand why would he tell her not to cry. It's because how can you tell someone not to cry over something that they loved and they thought that they lost? The reason, it wasn't just anybody saying that. It was Jesus saying that. And when Jesus tells us not to cry, it's for a reason, because he's about to hook us up. The reality, this woman lost her son. But also in spiritual reality, the Lord was about to hook her up, because he brought that boy back to life. And sometimes we're in a dead situation when things are dead, and that's our reality. But if you can learn to put that on the Lord, he can touch it and make it alive again. I'm feel like Amen. I'm talking too much. I feel like I'm ready to preach again, but I'm going to be talking for the next few minutes about the reality and if you're living for Christ. And one of the things that I've known, and when we were doing this lesson, yesterday was a prime example. I had preached at the church yesterday, and I thought I preached pretty good yesterday. I thought I preached, you know. After I was done and I was able to listen and meditate and listen to it. But everyone, I ain't going to say everyone, let me take that back. Soon as I got in my car after we leaving church, I was sharing a text that I got with my wife. It wasn't nothing about, that was a great sermon. No one said, it wasn't even about the sermon. It's what happened afterwards. And the question afterwards is challenging me. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But it was just like, well, dang, I didn't sweat it, and I'm tired. You know, I thought, and this is what they want to talk about. It wasn't you did a great job or the Lord is doing great things. It's something that they have nothing to do with what I preach.
Right.
And the delusion of that is now I'm questioning myself. Is this all that they saw in the whole? And it wasn't no one from the church. It was just people who listen. And I'm starting to question myself. Am I really called to preach? And the Lord, now I'm just sharing the story. I knew what was going on, and it was funny to me because the Lord had gave me, even before I preached it, I knew what was going to happen. But sometimes if we allow people that are around us to give us an illusion that we're really not where we're supposed to be. And the fact of the matter is we're on a whole nother level. Go ahead, wife. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know what you're apologizing for. You were doing
like
just fine.
I am.
No, you were good.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I wanted to give, like, the definition of an illusion. It says something that deceived by producing a false or misleading impression of reality. So it's something that, if I could say it this way, I know everybody's seen people that have their face all made up. It's contoured. It's like, wow, they look like, whoa, you are beautiful. And you see that person without that makeup, you're like, oh, you're still pretty, but you just look so different. So it's like a false reality, if I can say it that way. And a lot of times in life, we go through situations, it's like set up to be, it's like a false reality of what we're going through, because we allow the enemy to come in and say this and say that. And it, half the time, it's not even real. It's an illusion. It's not even real. He's just getting us sidetracked, or he's using an individual, or he's using a situation to get us sidetracked off of what's really going on. And so a lot of times we deal with a lot of illusions. And I don't know if guys do this or if this is just a girl thing, but I know a lot of times, whether it's on your job or at the church, or even sometimes it can be in your family, where you come across somebody or you have fellowship or a relationship with somebody, and for whatever reason you made up in your mind that person doesn't like you. Now, this person never told you they didn't like you. They never said specifically, I don't like you. It's just something that you made up in your mind, whether they looked at you in a funny way or they didn't agree with something that you said. So you just made up in your mind that they don't like you. Now, it could be that some people just don't like you just for whatever reason. But, you know, we make up stuff in our minds and we play it over and over and over. And, you know, the devil is very deceitful, and he'll use any tactic to get us off focus. And a lot of times we get in situations where we're not focused on what's at hand because we have too many sidebar things going on. So I don't – do guys go through where, you know, I'll mess with him or whatever because of blah, blah, blah. But, no, that person never really told you that they didn't like you. It's just an illusion that you have in your mind based off of whatever.
Well, I really can't say that we do as men. I can tell you this, and I'm coming from a certain place, and I don't want to get too sidetracked. If you show us something, it don't necessarily has to be a look. If you show us something, as men, I'm talking about real men. I'm not talking about males trapped in a man's body. I'm talking about real men. When you show them something and it don't add up, that discernment kicks in. We don't just sit around, oh, I don't like him or he don't like me, or, you know, it's never like that. But a lot of times when you're around other men and something, I'll always give it the spider sense is what I say, but it's Lord giving me discernment over if something's not right, then, you know, I proceed with caution type of mentality. If you know what I'm making sense. It's not, we don't play them. I know what you're saying about females. I don't know any real men that do that. Oh, I don't. But if you give us something and it don't click with us, we'll sit back and we'll even have conversation. You know, there's some funny people that I know that are men that are funny. I don't deal with them, but I'm kosher. You know, I ain't going to go eat a hot dog and go out to dinner with them or anything like that, but I hold a conversation with them. I'm not going to choose that specific food, though. Well, if you think, well, I'm just being honest. Because we're living in a world, you come across people, and if something is with them that doesn't add up, we don't act funny towards them. We just not going to put them in our inner circle. That's all. Hey, how you doing? And keep it moving. You know, we're not going to be displeasant, but I know females, if you look at someone, well, I got an attitude, and then, you know, the whole vibe is messed up. Man, we don't do that. We don't mess around with a vibe or anything. But if you ain't talking our language, then, you know, we can We know how to be cordial. But you ain't coming over my house. You ain't, there's certain things we're just not going to do. But if I have to tolerate a conversation, you know, I'm good at that. But I'm not fellowship. I'm not eating. You may not eat at the same table because you don't like what I, you know, I'm going to leave it alone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But those illusions will get you all the time. If you focus on something that you don't need to be focusing on. Okay, let me prime example. I have a situation that I'm going through with my daughter. She's about to attend college. And some unexpected finances have came up. And I'm like, okay, I feel overwhelmed in one sense, and in the other sense, I feel excited for her. Now, if I want to pretend like I got this and I got that, then I could end up being somewhere in a hole somewhere because I'm putting myself in a situation that's not reality. So with her situation, I have to walk a fine line to make sure that I'm not getting in a situation over my head. So, but there are a lot of people who have this illusion of, you know, when the pandemic first happened and everybody was getting these, the unemployment, the illusion was this money was going to last forever. But now people are in the reality of, okay, the money flow stops. Now the real thing begins. And it's like, if we could just stop letting the enemy sidetrack us and make us think that everything is going to be this way forever, we have to plan. We have to prepare. And a lot of times we don't plan and we don't prepare because we're looking at the illusion right in front of us, the smoke in the mirrors right in front of us, instead of, you know, being responsible and preparing for what the future holds. I know you may have a lot of money right now, but you may not have that in 6 months from now. So what are you going to do then? Shouldn't you be setting stuff aside? Shouldn't you be doing this or that? And not even a money issue, even with relationships. I know a lot of people who are in relationships, and it's like you're making up this relationship like everything is okay when you know you're in a bad situation. It's a false reality. A lot of the reality shows that we watch, it's false reality. This is not, you got to rob Peter to pay Paul to make up for all this stuff that you're doing. So the enemy loves to keep our mind focused on, it doesn't need to be focused on. We should all, as children of God, on a daily basis, we should be trying to minister to someone, give a listening ear to someone, encouraging someone. We should be doing something every day that's going to grow the kingdom of the Lord versus allowing all this stuff going on around us to give us a false sense of reality.
Well, if you're living for Christ, and when I'm the perfect example, I know you say I always go to Peter. When the disciples and Peter was on the ship and they was going through the storm, and Jesus appeared on the sea out of the 12, I'm talking to the saved folks now, they saw something that looked like a ghost. And now I'm going to give my opinion. The reason I feel like this is because when stuff happens and we're going through unfamiliar waters, if you don't have that relationship, Jesus could be right there with you. And you think that it's not him, you may think it's something else. Now, out of the 12, only one had a sense enough to go out there. Because when he spoke, he told them, don't be afraid, it is I. And they still was afraid except one. And when Peter got out of the boat to go to him, to walk on the water, this is during a storm. The reality was, if he get out of the boat during the storm, you're going to fall, you're going to drown. But if Jesus is telling you to do something, he's going to prepare you. He didn't have to put on a life preserver coat. He didn't have to swim. He walked on the water. And the circumstances, his reality was, that's impossible. And just like my wife was saying about this college thing, I want to put it out there because I don't want people to think that we are rich. But every time I think about Jesus and all that he's done for us, you know, he makes a way for us. And my wife said something to me that made me know it was all right. She said, if we have to do this, we're going to do this. And never missed a beat. Now, yeah, in her brain, in her natural brain, in her, she's, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And you know, but the thing at the end of the day is the girl is going to college. Now, she didn't get housing on campus. So the bombshell was she got to get her own apartment. Well, the reality of her getting her own apartment was she only 18 years old. She can't get her own apartment. So we got to co-sign for her to get an apartment. So that means it's another bill that we have to be responsible for. And it ain't no $200-$300 bill month. This is some money we got to come up every month. And I'm like, okay, all right, Lord. If you say we can do it, the people at the apartment place say we can do it, the Lord said, we going to do it. The thing about it is getting started. And if we get it started, the Lord knows what's going on. So when we do this show, D&K Bible Break, and we come on every Monday and we study and we try to get the Lord, now we're walking on the water when storms is coming. Jesus is right there. He's telling us to come out. And we have to be in his word enough not to lose focus off of him or we will drown. And even if we do drown, look, we have enough sense to call on the Lord and he will pick us up and walk us back to the boat. And when I say I'm graduating, before I was one of the 12 disciples that stayed on the boat until I know that I know that I know that I know then. But see, we're going to rejoice now because her daughter is going to college. It's her, my wife's first child going to college. And she hasn't given us any trouble. She don't even have a curfew because she just comes home at the time that a young lady should be at home.
Right.
And she's just home. She don't have, she tell us, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. She tells us where she's going. And if anything happens between the destination of home and Chick-fil-A, there's a phone call. So there's no need to panic. The rest of the kids in the house can't get a key to the house, but she can get a key to the house. But she really don't need the key to the house because she's normally inside the house before we lock the door anyway. And what I'm saying is, I'm saying all that not to put our business out there, but when you're living for Christ and you're working for Christ, I can't stress this enough, the Lord will open doors. He will take you to levels that you will look back. How did I? Because I'm asking myself today, how did I get to where I'm at? And it's because the opportunities that the Lord allowed me to do. Now, I could say all day long, I'm saved, sanctified, and I love the Lord. I could say that all day. I can look intelligent on the camera and on Facebook all day, but am I living it? I can read about it. I can quote scriptures on top of scripture. Am I living it? So when I'm living it, when I say how the Lord is blessing us, it's not bragging. It's just we're amazed because the Lord is doing things that we can't explain. I just got a job, and my wife will tell you, and I don't want to get off the subject of illusions. I just got a job, and the reason I got the job was I said, I need to go back to work. Well, first of all, the miracle is I'm not even supposed to be working. Doc said, you can't stand on your feet for no 40 hours a week, da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, I need to go back to work. I need to make some, there's some things I want to do. So I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I got all this stuff going on with chaos and this. Can I do it? And the Lord told me to call a place. I called the place. Oh, we've been wanting you. Can you come in for an interview? I didn't put no resume in. And you can, this is God. I didn't put no resume. I didn't even fill out an application. I went there. I sat there. The lady said, if you pass your background check, you think you can start? I said, yeah, I ain't worried about my background check. I can start. And I said, well, I can't. I told them about my chaos stuff. I said, well, I can't. I have to be present for, you know. He said, well, what about if we give you something at night that you can do all that you can do? And then the pay they were paying me was already good. But to top it off, they gave me $3 more just to go at night. And it doesn't conflict with anything that I have to do. I'm still available.
Amen, amen.
And
is
I'm
good.
Sitting
God
better
is good.
Yet. Yeah, God, I'm getting more rest now working than I was before. And it's just like, man. And then I got some money to go to McDonald's when I want to. That's a blessing.
Amen.
I mean, it's a blessing. Today, I come
people
home.
People getting checks out the blue. Right.
I get a check. Now, you probably saying the check went but for $48, but it was you know, people come and spray my yard. If y'all heard the show a couple of weeks ago, I was mad because they sprayed my yard and I got mushrooms popping up out my yard now. Well, they reimbursed me the money. I forgot all about, and I got a check in the mail. And then I'm sitting up here. What do I got to be upset about? But see, I allow Negroes to try to get to me. But see, I've said it before, and I'm saying it again. I'm on a whole nother level right now. I'm not, and I get this from my son, and I got something. I'm going to give it to you for free. My son put me on his checking account a long time ago. He put me on his checking account, and I said, okay, you got to have a checking account because he's in college, all this other stuff. And now a couple years later, I'm still on his account. And I had to sign some paperwork because he switched banks, so I had to go to the bank, and I'm on the account to change it. Now, y'all going to like this spiritually because this makes me want to shout. I go to the bank, and I said, I'm here to sign the paper. Okay, Mr. Oliver, this is what we need you to do. Boom, 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 boom. This is your son's account. They flip the screen over to me, and they show me what's in the account. I said, okay. But my son got it set up. I can't take no money out of his account. I could just see what's in it. I can't take anything out of his account, but I can see what's in it. I know that this went over everybody's head. See, the devil can see what's in your account, but he's not authorized to take anything out of it. And see, we want to fix up the outside because that's all the devil can do is mess with the outside, and we want to be artificial on the outside, but he cannot get to what's on the inside. He can't pull anything out of it unless you allow him to. And what we have to do is understand that we have an account with Jesus. And the devil may know what's in the account, but he can't pull nothing out of it. It has no effect. Me knowing what's in my son's account, if I can't get to the money, what good is it for me to know what's even in there? It's kind of pointless. And I asked the lady, well, what's the point if I can't get nothing out? Not that I want his money. What's the point? Well, in case something happens to him, you're next of kin. But as long as he's doing well and everything is going fine, I could see it all day long. The devil can see you all day long. Are you going to allow him access to your account? And if you allow him access to your account, you'll be stressing because now he's pulling from your account, and you don't know what you got in there. You don't know if you got enough faith to handle the situation because you didn't let the devil pull from you. And we allow these illusions to get us sidetracked, to stress. I'm not stressing for nobody. I'm going to enjoy. And it's really a good thing when you can go to church and you can have contact with the Lord and you can come home and you're different from everybody else. And again, we've been preaching it, and I've been talking about my family since May. And they don't understand me or my wife because they don't understand Christ. And if you don't understand Christ, you can't understand us because we can never explain how things is happening. And I'm not trying to say that we're better because we have our days in the valley as well as everybody else do. But at the end of the day, it all goes back to Christ. It all goes back. We wake up with Christ. We go to bed with Christ. Now, whatever happens in the middle, hey, that's just it is. But at the end of the day, the illusion is God is going to make a way. He's going to give us what we need. And it's important that you understand, don't just read about the word, live by the word. And a lot of Christians make that mistake. We want to be able to quote scriptures, but are you living it? We want to be able to act intelligent, but are you living it? Can you honestly say that you're living the life that Christ has for you to be living? And that's all that I'm trying to say. And if everyone want to watch me and criticize what kind of clothes I wear or what's going on or my mistakes that I make that's in public, then you really don't know me, because if you know me, you know that I love the Lord. I'm not doing anything intentional, but I am going to start speaking my mind more because I'm starting to see some stuff. And the Lord was upset with me because I was trying to be something that I'm not. I'm chaotic. I cause chaos. And I cause chaos so we can get to the truth of the matter. Well, how do we get to the truth? We get to the truth through Christ. Now, I know God is not in confusion. I'm not trying to cause confusion, but I'm trying to straighten up people. I have about five ministers that I mentor that's from five different cities, and they look up to me, and they ask me, and we meet, and we talk, and they ask me, well, why is it? And some of these ministers have not preached since the pandemic. And I'm asking them, well, if you say you're a minister, why aren't you preaching? And they want to make excuses. No, 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 no. I cannot wait for someone to give me, especially a man, to give me, no, there's too much out here to do to just sit down on Christ. And then I'm in position. I have a platform. I don't get no one calling me up saying, I want to be on the radio. Don't no one call me up for that. Oh, can I be on the radio? No, don't no one call me up for that. But if they want to be in the limelight, well, can I create an app? No, I can't do that. God didn't tell me to do that. But if you want to talk to the people, it don't matter what day of the week it is, on Monday, today. And as of right now, I told them to text me at 7:36. At 7:36, we got 1,100 people listening to me and Kay talk right now. 1,100. Right now, I'm talking 1,100. Last Tuesday, when we did Bible study, on Tuesday night when we do Bible study, we're at 1,600 people listening. Just listening. They're not all members of Praise Tabernacle. They're just listening to the Word of God. God gave me a platform. Every time we turn on my computer, the Word goes out. It don't matter if it's me and my wife. The Word is going out. The Word is going out. And my wife got a response yesterday from someone from Texas about, they ain't talked to him in years. And the comment was, pray for me. I've seen you on TV or Facebook or whatever. I see what you're doing. Can you pray for me? Just that one person who's not in our loop, not in our inner circle, asking for prayer. And that's just one that we talk about. It's not thousands of people throwing money at us. It's just that one person. That's ministry. And when you start doing that ministry for the Lord knows what you need. So the illusion of dollar is about to be broke. No, we got this. Young lady going to go to college. She going to get her own apartment. The thing about it is the illusion is going to be with y'all because y'all think that we're rich because we can afford to get her own apartment. Amen. That's the illusion that y'all don't. You don't see how the Lord is doing it. Every week, we got to get up. Every week, my wife, who you got to put on today? What's going on with my chaos? Who going on the race? Who are we putting in a position to hit a button so someone can hear the Word of God? And there's so many people that I know that are preachers. All they want to see is me preaching in a suit. That's what they want. That's the easy part. The hard part is doing what we're doing, being committed to the Lord. You know how many days I just want to just sleep and don't even come to the computer? You know how many days I just wish I could just go sit at a beach and chill? And now I'm not saying I don't get my time because the Lord has blessed me to take vacations and to do certain things. But the struggle is every day I'm doing something for the Lord. Every day I'm doing something for the Lord. And what really kicks in is I'm not doing it for no man. I'm not doing it for no organization because can't no man or no organization bless me the way the Lord is blessing me. I have several speaking opportunities coming up. I have the people from, I can't think of it, but it's connected with Disney, who loved the revival we did back in February. He said, when you going to do another one? And these are older white men. I like the way, and they ain't just talking about me, but everyone that comes on Chaos. You never know who's listening. When you going to have this? When is this person going to come up? And the reason I don't say nothing, I don't want people to get a big head. Oh, they loved you, Doc. And they want to get a big head. They want to go for the wrong reason. But can you do it when ain't no one saying nothing? Can you do it when you don't see these numbers? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done, wife. We did a D&K show. It may have been about 3 months ago. And they changed my format when they sent me numbers. Normally, they tell me you have 1,300. They're just real specific, 1,300. But they changed the way they give me the numbers. And this Monday, they gave me a number that D&K, we only had, they gave me the number 5. I didn't understand. I said, only 5 people listen? I was getting discouraged. I was getting upset. And it's like, man, I ain't doing this no more, man. It's too much work. 5 people? And what it was, because we're in the thousands, they don't put 1,000. They just put 5. You had 1,000, that's what, 500 people. And so more. It could have been 550. The 5 just meant 500. I didn't understand it. But I got caught up in the illusion of what it said, and I didn't understand it. And now here I am questioning my ministry because I didn't understand something. And see, everything ain't for us to understand. If it was but 5 people, the Lord said, you may have touched that one. And that's all I need to know is that one. If I don't hear anything. So I don't even get caught up in numbers no more because I don't want to get caught up in that illusion. It's all about the numbers. Or get caught up in the money. It's all how much money are you making? Because that's what Negroes really want to know. Well, how much money are you getting from chaos? And again, I can't answer that question. I wasn't expecting a check for $48 today, but I got it. That's a lot of McDonald's trips for me, $48 off the dollar menu. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm saying this is because we as Christians, we're not looking at things, this is my opinion, we're not looking at things the way we look at things, the reality of the world. The reality, this is what the world say. We're supposed to cry at funerals. But if you read what the Bible say about it, we're supposed to rejoice. It's a homecoming. It's a celebration. But if you look at the illusion, you know, we're supposed to be sad. That's why it's very important for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. And at the end of the day, he's going to tell you what he wants you to know. He's going to tell you which way he wants you to go. It's not going to be dictated by man. I preached yesterday. It's a new day, dawning of a new day. There's some things that's rattling, and I forgot to close my message out. My wife went to the library, and she put her heart into the lesson she was working on. And I knew how important it was for her. And she got so mad because she lost all her stuff. But what I forgot to say yesterday that I'm going to say today is my wife was so mad I just let her vent and be her. But after she recovered and she was okay with it, Saturday night she was telling me, and she didn't tell me this in the beginning. She said she met a lady at the library, and they were talking. And she was telling the lady what she was there for. She went out in public, and she was talking and was introduced to someone that she would have never met, never had seen. And this lady know a little bit about my wife's story. And if you know anything about her story, you know Christ is involved in it. And that's the part. It wasn't for her to go do what she was doing. Her assignment for that day was to see this young lady or this older lady and to have a conversation. Because when you're doing the work of the Lord, anytime you go outside your house, you're on assignment to do what Christ will have you to do. It's his will, not our will. My wife's will was to go do some work on something
that
she's
was my focus.
On.
Right.
That was her focus. The Lord had a whole nother focus for her. So her illusion was, and she started questioning, what was she doing? And God had her there to do exactly what she needed to do, even though it upset her, even though she was there to do. That's why I say you have to graduate from certain things. And when new stuff starts to happen and you start doing new things, you have to look at it a little bit differently. Go ahead, Weiss.
You know, at the end of the day, there's work to do. And we have to, you know, be about the Lord's business. We can't do that if we don't get out of our own way. So the bottom line is you got to get out your own way. And you were talking about Peter and by him walking on water. And there is one point in that where he starts to sink. He gets distracted. And, you know, a distraction is when you're dragged away from whatever the task is at hand. So Peter was distracted. And a lot of times we get distracted. And I said before during one of our Monday nights, if the enemy can't destroy you, he will distract you. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So it doesn't matter. Distractions, they come in all forms, from any angle, any area of your life. But the results are always the same. Either it's going to prevent us from experiencing something that God has for us, or it puts us in the wrong position. So I felt like I got distracted a little bit on Saturday when I sat there for 2 hours just pouring my heart out into something that I was doing, and then for it to just disappear. I allowed that distraction to make me miss the assignment, because the assignment was for me to speak with this older woman that was there, and I got a chance to speak with her, but I wanted to get back to my what I wanted to do, which is the reason why I went there. So a lot of times we do allow distractions to get us off course. And sometimes distractions can cause us to, you know, do things too soon or not soon enough. We just got to pray and ask the Lord to help us, you know, be more focused, keep our eyes on him and follow his leading and let the Spirit lead us, because, you know, we want to do our own agendas. And I just look at it over the weekend. Maybe it wasn't for me to, maybe it was just for me to encourage myself that I can talk about what I want to talk about and get it all out. My friend, she said, well, everything that you wrote is in you, so you didn't lose it. It's in you. So, and I'm like, you're right. It's in me. I just wanted to type it all out, and I thought I had a good flow, and I'm like, okay, we're good to go. Let's hit print. And it said, nope, goodbye. So I was hurt in regards to that situation, but at the end of the day, God will get the glory. Just like I poured out on that day, the Lord is going to give me what to say, and I'll go back to, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do for him. So
Amen.
At the end of the day, it's about being intentionally
right.
Doing what the Lord has you to do. Just be intentional.
And,
I'm sorry,
and you know, no, you're good. I just wanted to let people know that we are D&K. We are retooling, because we're getting ready to go to another level. And what my wife is talking about, you know, is not for me to say. I've heard where she's going with this, and this is an eye-opener for a lot of, especially females, black females, because she's going to touch on some issues. And if you don't mind, I just want to say this, and I'm going to veer off of this for a minute, but it's one thing when you have a father and he's absent from your life. It's another thing when you got two fathers and they're absent for your life. Some of us can't relate because, you know, I had my father. I've seen people without fathers. But when you have two of them, and I don't mean to put words in my wife, I'm using my own opinion, and they both lose us, the effect that has on a child and into their adulthood, and even to the age they are now. And my wife has such a beautiful story and message with this. It's coming. And like I keep telling, the Lord is setting her up and building the platform up, not for her to get the glory, but for God to get the glory, because she has something that is going to help a lot of people because y'all don't know her story. And when I say that, she didn't have one father that was a little, yeah, two. It's bad when you get one. But when you get two of them, it's a whole nother story. So she's working on something because it affected her as a child.
And not only is it a whole nother story, it's a whole nother pain.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you deal with that when you talk about it, because it is a whole nother pain that I can't even relate to. It's a whole nother pain. And I'm just hearing in some of the stuff I'm listening, and I'm listening to her, and she's like, do it make sense? And I'm like, you need to put that on paper. We might need to do a book. We might, because my brain is like, I never thought about it like that. I never thought about, you know, most people get lucky to get one good father. I ain't talking about the father, our heavenly, I'm talking about our earthly father. I said, you had two of them, and they, both of them turned out to be, ain't even worth a $5 bill. And it's sad, but it's also good because if you got the Lord and you see the story, you already know it's going to end up to be good. But getting back to the illusions that I was talking about, and it's important because I have a lot of people listening, and not only do we have a lot of people listening, it's the fact that when you start working for Christ, and I think my pastor is on. He was gone for vacation for a week. In the week that he was gone, I really needed to talk because I had an issue that I was dealing with. And the issue, and the Lord was laughing at me, like, what you need to bother that man for about that? And it was like, you know what? You're right. I'm capable of doing what God wants me to do, and I don't have to run. Now, he's there for a reason. He's there to help, guide, and but when things get shaky is when the Lord wants you to turn to the Lord, and he'll give you the answer. And my answer was, it's a new day for me. Y'all going to hear me say this for a long time. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's new mercies. It may not be sunny and 90 degrees. It may be rainy and cold, but it's a new day. And sometimes some of the best things are birthed in the cold. Some things are birthed in the heat. It's a new day with new possibilities. And regardless of the situation, some people love it when it rains. Some people love it when it's hot. It depends. The Lord's going to have us in a situation where it's a new day for us and for us to minister to new people. I'm not talking to the church folks no more. When I preach, and I meant to say this yesterday, but the Lord got a hold of me. I'm not even preaching for the people of Praise Tabernacle no more. My sermons are not for you. I may have to preach at Praise Tabernacle, but if you've been in Praise Tabernacle, my sermons, they're not for you. Because if you listen to the Bible studies, if you listen to the teachings, you should be growing and growing and growing. And because the Lord has given me a ministry outside of that, I'm growing and growing and growing. And then I got to thinking about something the pastor told me, and it really hit. This is when you know you're in the right place. My pastor got another Bible study. And for the life of me, I didn't understand it. And it wasn't for me to understand. And I'm like, he pastor, and he got another Bible study with some other folks? But when you're living for Christ and you're doing his will, he's going to present opportunities for you. Now, I'm a minister. I was called by God. The reason I got chaos and we doing what we're doing is because God called me and he qualified me to do certain things. If he called you to do, things are just going to pop up. And when you're living for the Lord, things will pop up. And because it's Bible study, it isn't the most famous. It isn't glamorous. It isn't something that you be on the front page. This is something where you have to build from the ground up, hard work, hard teachings, dealing with folks, just dealing, it just made me think about it. And I'm like, why am I trying to please everyone and have all these, when I'm just doing what God's called me to do? If they don't want to be doing a part of what I'm doing, they don't want to be a part of God. I don't got to have no more meetings with nobody. I don't have to explain anything for anybody else because the illusion is not that I'm better than anybody, is that I'm doing what God has called me to do. And if you're doing what God has called you to do, when the circumstances arise, we're not looking at it the way everyone else looks at it. We're not. I'm not looking at other Bible studies. I'm looking at they're doing what God has called them to do. And if they're doing what God has called them to do, when they come to teach me, I know that it's from God because they're being obedient. Because God, if he called you, he qualifies you. If he qualifies you, he gives you opportunity to do certain things. And this is the thing. If you don't have no opportunity to do nothing, you got to ask yourself, did God really call you? But if opportunities keep popping up and opportunities and opportunities and opportunities, okay, the Lord is moving. The Lord is moving. And I'm not bragging about anything. I'm bragging that the Lord is using me and my family. Now, for those that want to say, well, our family, you got you struggling this, and kids only, yeah, we got kids that don't listen. We got people doing stuff they ain't got no business doing. We got all, because we live with the reality in the illusion, that not our illusion, but y'all having a hard time. We are. According to your illusion. But when you could see kids getting saved, they may not be saved today and shouting for the Lord today, but when you can see it in the future and you keep doing what the Lord is telling you, he's going to bless everybody. I'm going to say this and I'm done. And my biggest issue has always been my baby boy. He's been my waiting for him. Our last conversations, he's ministered to me. He's given me what I needed to go on. He called me up and said, if the Hawks win, Dad, I'm going to come to Atlanta. I want to go to a playoff game. And I said, what makes you think I can get tickets like that? He said, don't you get one? He said, yeah. Well, you can get two. You always do it any other time. Why can't you do it now? I'm like, okay. And then he said I think you come in week turning 50. He said, you say you want to do a revival to God? I said, well, yeah, I'm thinking about it. I said, what's there to think about? Just do it. You ain't never thought about it before in the past. You just did it, and whoever liked it, they didn't. Who cares? Just do it. If God is telling you, and this is my son telling me this. He's been around me enough to know how, that's why I said, it's a new day. It's a new day. And since we've been doing certain things. My son got blessed. He has a job opportunity in September. And it's for, you know, for him, it's a lot of money. And he's still mulling it. He has time to see if this is what he wants to do. Then he tells me, he said, Dad, I want to think I need to go ahead and get a girlfriend. I'm going to start. Now, he's telling me this. This is my son. And we're talking about him because he's focused on him, school, work. That's what his life is. And he's telling me, because he's 25, I think I'm going to get a girlfriend. And he said he took this young lady out, he said, a couple times. And he said, I don't know how to take it. I said, what do you mean? He said, she never lets me pay for her dinner every time we go out to eat. But I know she likes me because her friends, but she won't let me. And I told him, I said, well, now you're dealing with a different type of woman that you're used to because she can buy her own dinner. So that's what she's telling you. She's not coming at this. She's looking for you for anything. And she don't want you to think because you buy her dinner, she owe you anything. And it was a pleasant conversation with my son because there's so many fathers and sons having conversations. Dad, I got a girl pregnant. And then we glorify that by giving them a baby shower. When the Bible tells us abstinence is the key. And I preach that to him. It's for him to come to me and talk to me about his time for him to find it. Can't no one do that but God. Can't no one. And I swear to you, I'm not the perfect parent. I made a lot of mistakes. But for us to have that conversation, for him to minister to me, and to get me out of the kick in the pants, I need it. That's my – something I've done was right. And as a parent, for the first time, I felt job well done and pat myself on the back. That don't mean he ain't going to make no mistakes. That don't mean he's not going to fail. That doesn't mean any of it. It's just the direction he's going is a good direction. And he's not being fooled by the illusion that the world is telling him. 25-year-old black male, almost on a professional football team with no kids, no police record. The only thing he ever had to do with the police is a ticket that he got. And I'm sitting up here stressing about other stuff. And I'm looking at the results of my son. And I keep telling my wife, look at your daughter. She's doing good. She's not made like everybody else because she's watching you. And if you keep Christ first, believe you me, the other ones may not pick it up right now. But thank the Lord she did. Thank the Lord she's doing the right thing. Thank the Lord she's acting like a young lady and not like somebody that's out there trying to do other things than try to live right. And when you think about those things, you start thanking and praising the Lord for the little things that we've missed. It's not about the money we got to spend, because you're going to spend money regardless. I didn't spend so much money on my son, but I thank the Lord that it was on him and not to the probation officer or to the bail bondsman or to the courts. It makes a difference. And when you're living for Christ and you're doing what he wants you to do, you look at things a little differently because the Lord got you. All he wants you to do is start it. If you start it, he'll make sure that it gets finished. All he wants us to do is have the faith to believe and get it started. And if you get it started, he will, and I promise you, he will, whatever the circumstance, make sure you have it to do what you need to do. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for what the Lord is doing for me. I'm grateful for the opportunities the Lord put in my life. I'm grateful for the church home that the Lord allowed me to serve up under, because I've always said my wife puts me in a perfect position to succeed. My pastor puts me in a perfect position to succeed. All I got to do is be ready when I get that call. If you're ready when you get that call, you'll be all right. And I'm coming out with Chaos. I told Deacon Stanton the reason I didn't want to do Chaos no more was because I didn't want to give the illusion that, you know, my Chaos show is a little chaotic. But we're going to get to Chaos because I've talked to my wife. And men, I'm talking about all men, we need to do better. We need to do better. Just as men, we need to do better. Now, if you're doing what you're supposed to do as a man, God bless you. Keep up the good work. Because a lot of us don't. A lot of men don't. There's a lot of sorry men that are out there that ain't doing nothing. And when I say that, I mean that on every aspect. I'm talking about every supposed to be saved man. You ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing when it comes to building the kingdom up of Christ and dealing in your own home. The reason I know that is because I'm out here and I'm looking and I'm seeing. And there's so many young men that's from church homes that got church fathers that's in the church. I ain't talking about the world. I'm talking about church. Making babies after babies after babies. And we, the leaders of the church, oh, it's okay. We ain't preaching abstinence no more. They go out and make a baby. What we do? We give them a baby shower, gender parties. And ain't no one saying nothing. Oh, well, we made mistakes. Well, we supposed to be better than that to teach our kids not to make the same mistakes that we made. And I know I'm going to get some because your son 25 and he ain't got no kids. It makes you think he's a good father. No, I ain't say made me a good father. But I did teach abstinence. I did teach it. Now, a lot of people got taught too and they didn't abide by it. It was taught. But we ain't even teaching it now. You don't hear no one say nothing. And I ain't knocking no one to get pregnant. I'm not knocking it because everyone makes mistakes. And I ain't knocking because you made a mistake. I'm just talking about the men who are supposed to teach this stuff. It's not even being taught. So when they make a mistake, they don't even have an option because we're not even giving them an option. Go buy a condom. And they don't even know how to use it.
All
I was
right.
working with some young. We were working with some young. I'm just being honest. I know how we got there, but we're there.
Because I don't know how
I
we got
so
there
many,
either.
But we're there, and Lord must want us to be there. And I'm not going to apologize for what I'm saying.
Well,
but I'm just saying there's too many men out there, and I'm just going to say it. That's not teaching these other men how to be a man. Just because you know how to make a baby doesn't make you a man. And it doesn't make it right. Sin is sin. And if we're out here sinning, doing stuff we ain't got no business doing, bringing in these kids and not taking care of them, and then these kids get issues, and then we got to pray for them, and they go to prison, do all this other, and then you got 4 or 5 kids. And then they don't even live because they're getting shot or killed because they're living a life that they ain't got no business living, and then they got these kids without no fathers. Then you wonder why there's so many gay men, black men at that out there. And I'm just being honest. I'm just talking now. I'm off the subject. We can really close out. But I'm done.
Yeah.
Let me add, before you go,
before you continue on your.
No, I'm done. You can pray us out. I just want to add,
go ahead. Like, whatever your platform is, whether it's. Anywhere. It could be in a beauty salon. It could be in a cafeteria, in an Uber, wherever your platform is, wherever the Lord places you. Just take a note that somebody's always watching, and you could always offer a word of encouragement to somebody. No sense of giving off attitude. Just try to be that example to someone, like you were talking about with your son. You know, train up a child in a way that they should go. So even though our kids, they make mistakes throughout their lives, if the foundation is set, that's your requirement, is to set the foundation. It needs to be a foundation that's around the principles of what the word says. So when people are looking, like you said, my daughter's watching, all these kids watching the grown-ups and seeing how we act. So just keep in mind, wherever you go, you represent the Lord. If you have accepted him as your personal Savior, you represent him. So decide what type of light is going to shine through you so that way you can, you know, draw people not to you but to Christ. And just be mindful of how you carry yourself.
The reason I'm saying it, and I'm going to end it on a good note, I'm going to try to end it on a good note. But I said earlier, you know, I got a lot of phone calls yesterday about yesterday's service that we had at the Tabernacle, and it was a blessing. And even my son chimed in last night, and I'm not going to talk with the other, but I'm going to talk with my son. Said, because my son is trying to date, and he saw the pastor give his wife a new wedding ring. It's a big rock. And we joke around,
right,
me and the pastor. We joke around a lot about, you know, romancing our wives. And my son watches what I do. He watches who I deal with, who I interact with. He knows about certain conversations that I've had. So my son was like, "You gonna go out like that, Dad? What you gonna do?" I said, "What you mean what I'm going to do?" He gave her wife a ring, and everyone saw it on my son. He liked to play on World National TV, and you supposed to be the Mac Daddy. You supposed to be the one that, you know how to charm your wife. What you going to do? Now, what I liked about what Bishop did was he was showing all young black men, this is how you treat your queen. This is how you do it. This is on public display. We always want to dog men out when they don't do right, but when they do right, we don't want to give them the pleasure. And I'm not saying this to kiss nobody's butt or anything. I'm saying it because this is the platform. When I do stuff for my wife, I'm not doing it to brag. I'm doing it because I got a son watching me do this. And for him to ask me what I'm going to do for my wife, he said, don't get outdone by somebody that loves their wife. You love your wife. You do something. It ain't about a competition. But if you love your wife, if you know how to be a man, you're going to You're going to put it on display, not to brag, but to let the Lord know, because the Lord gave it to you. You want that's what it's about. And it's also about teaching and living a certain lifestyle. If I was sitting up here, and every time my wife wasn't around, I'm talking about other women to my son, I'm going to give him an illusion it's okay to do that. If I'm sitting up here and I can't never go nowhere with my wife, it's okay. See, these are the things that we as black men, we need more of. That's why I like Praise Tabernacle, because the black men, they know how to take care of their wife. We have to put it on public display so all these young black men can see it, whether they saved or not. This is how you treat your woman. You don't marry him and go have kids with other women, and you put this poor woman through all this hell. You don't do that. And it's important that we understand that. But there ain't no men. There ain't no real men. That's why there's a lot of these boys. I'm telling you. I went to work last night, and I saw so many, and it wasn't a lot. It was a few men that questionable. It was questionable. But I'm done. Wife, pray us out of here and let us go. We'll be back tomorrow night on Chaos Talk Radio with Praise Tabernacle Bible Study at 7 p.m. Thursday night, Bishop Omar, Zachary, and Family Ministries will be back on this Thursday night at 7 p.m. You can catch them here and be back again at Praise Tabernacle Church Service Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Get the word in. Join us tomorrow for another awesome Bible study where you can get – as the rabbi, our rabbi, Elder Blood says, line by line, word for word, teaching of the word of God. Listen to Bible study tomorrow. And like I tell you, if you do it for the next 30 days, you will be at a different level with Christ. If you not only if you listen to it, but you be a doer of what it's telling you to do, I'm telling you, you will be blessed. And yes, chaos is coming back. I'm coming back, and I will be talking about these men, and I will be talking about hot dogs. And when I say that is, we need to stop telling a lie and start telling the truth about certain things. And I'm going to be in full flex. So I'm telling you, Elder Oliver and Chaos, we will be back. And we'll be back live on Friday. I'm doing two shows Friday. I'm doing a Chaos show Friday. And then Friday night, we'll be ministering over in London, England, over at the two nursing homes over there early. Bible study for them, late night for us. So on Friday night, we will definitely do that. And I'm going to put a call out here. And I know I'm going to regret it later, but I just want to see the response I get, wife. Any elder that wants to minister to a group over in London at Friday night at 1 a.m. in the morning, give Elder Oliver a call. It ain't going to be glimpse. Ain't going to be a whole lot of people, just a few people listening to the word of God over in London. If you want it. Now, if you ain't qualified, I'm going to tell you no. But if you want it and you can share some scriptures and you want to get excited about the Lord to talk to a few folks over in London, you have an opportunity on Friday night, 1 a.m. in the morning, if you want to talk to them. If not, I'll get up there and I'll do what I do. But also Friday night, I'm going to do a chaos show, and we will be talking about the state of the young black man according to chaos. I'm talking about it. And, yeah, I'm going to hit up, and because I'm from the church. I ain't from the streets. I'm going to take it from the church to the streets. I'm going to have someone talking from the streets. I'm going to have someone talking from the church. I'm representing the church. So, yes, you preachers and pastors, best be ready. And for some of y'all pastors that I mentor, you're some of your elders, I know you don't know it and you don't like it. Be ready. Be ready. And that's all I got to say. Wife, you can pray us out.
All right. I can tell that you really missed being on last Monday because you rolling. So you got a little long-winded tonight, husband. Goodness. All right, I'm going to pray us out of here. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight just thanking you for allowing us to meet here once again. We ask that you continue to let your will be done in our lives. pray that something was said that was meaningful to someone. We pray that everything works out in the favor of all your children. We ask that your will just be done, and bless us throughout this week. Keep us safe, covered under your loving arms of protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to The Sound.
Hello.